I want you to just agree with me. Say, Father, my eyes see. My heart perceives. My ears hear what you're speaking to me. Amen? If you recall, last Tuesday we talked about predestination. And I think sometimes it's important to realize that when the scripture says that we are predestined, meaning that we don't have a choice, but that's not truth. He already knows what choices you're going to make. In case you forgot, he put you together in your mother's womb, Psalm 139. He knows what's in you. He knows what's inside every area of your being. In case you also forgot, he knew where you were to be born. He knew the time, the year, the moment, the right mother, the right father, the right coordinates. In other words, you're not a mistake. Yet sometimes you might feel like a mistake. Your emotions can play tricks with you. And this morning, he reminded me, when I was doing the research on predestination, that he also wanted to remind you and me that we have a plan for our life from God's point of view. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows the plans I have for you. So if he knows, why should we be searching everywhere else for the answers? I mean, when you realize God knows the plans he has for me. Now, does that mean that you're going to go towards him every single time?
No.
No. Why? I remember, as a boy, knowing that I had been named after my great uncle. The name I did not like. Just didn't like the idea. Why didn't I like it? I have no clue why I didn't like it. Just didn't like it. Something in me was anti- Elijah, because that's my second name. In French, it's spelled E-L-I-E. In English, obviously, it's Elijah. I didn't like it. Was it important for me to like it or dislike it? No, it's irrelevant. Why did God allow that name to be put in me?
Because he wanted it for you.
Yeah. I ran across a cassette tape this week. There's a little note on it that says, in the back side or the second side, flip side of the cassette, there's a message for me, meaning me. And obviously, it was from an individual that didn't know anything about me. And I wanted to go listen, and the Lord said no. It's already recorded. Has he recorded something about you? Yeah. Has he recorded where and how you're going to go forward? Mm-hmm. Is it foreordained? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's prepared. So let's go to a couple of places where you'll be able to see from the Word of God how you and I were foreordained to be together now. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That's a pre-recorded message. Who's the woman?
Eve.
No.
Church.
The woman is the church. Why is she a woman? Because she gives birth to sons in the kingdom. Acts 2:16. Acts 2:16. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Again, spoken hundreds of years before the actual day of Pentecost. Amen? Foreordained, prepared. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. There's the two of them together. To be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's prepared ahead because God had a plan. And his plan is unfolding. 1 Corinthians 2:7. St. Paul says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. How much clearer do you want it? Before time began, that means before the earth was in existence, he had prepared you and me to be together now. You mean he's got hidden secrets up his sleeve? Hidden wisdom that is to be declared now? Yes. And you're part of it. Second Timothy 1:9. This one is probably one of the most important. Second Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us, called us to be a holy life, not because of anything we have done. Wow. I didn't write it. My name's not Paul. So don't look at me. I'm not your problem. St. Paul might be your problem, but he's under the anointing of the Holy One of Israel. Not because of anything we have done or he has done, but because of his own purpose and grace. In other words, God's plan, his own purpose to set you aside into this house for this time is because he's got something up his sleeve. Why am I pushing this button? Because God and I were having a little chit-chat.
Oh, been there, done that.
Having a little chit-chat.
Yeah.
All right. Watching the video. I mean, I can remember when my office and Tim Moore's office were next door to each other. I can remember Tim Moore dropping off some material for me because I was still having trouble with religion. I can remember driving home saying, God, what are you up to? What are you doing with me? You're not making any sense. I would like something sensible. I'd like his pattern to make sense to me. Why? Because I'm nosy. Now, none of you guys are in that boat, but I was extremely nosy. That's 1986. And I was not understanding why he had me where he had me. I didn't like some of the things that I was going through. I didn't like some of the circumstances. Amen. Anybody got any friendship around here?
Amen.
Okay, I didn't like. Was it really that important to me? Well, it was important for him to start getting through to me, But he didn't have it all put together yet. You know why? Because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I would not have been able to handle the persecution, the rejection, the purity of God's plan had to come from him and him alone. Through circumstances that he chose, not me. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Now, if your Bible says something different, you tell me. Before the beginning of time, he predestined you to be where you are with the circumstances you're living and all the challenges that are included, but also all the victories.
Amen.
You can't have one without the other. There are challenges, but there are victories. And you know, tomorrow could be the very day that he sets you free so that you don't question him anymore.
Praise the Lord. I receive.
Don't stay so discouraged that you don't comprehend that his plan is unfolding. You say, well, why is it loaded with messes and difficulties? Because he's trying to mature you, James 1. Back when I still had the store, 78, 79, 80, somewhere in there, every single morning, he made me read James chapter 1 out loud. Is your life full of difficulties and trials of many kinds? Then rejoice. Did I feel like rejoicing when the buyer was not having any money, where he was a millionaire and nobody would lend him a nickel? Everything went wrong from my point of view. But God's plan had been predestined and prepared. And he wanted it his way, not mine. Isn't that wild? How many of you have had your way ever since you came to the Lord? Or how many of you have been discouraged over and over because he didn't come across with your plan?
Amen.
Yeah! Is it his intention to irritate you?
No.
Oh, I think it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, he'll see what's in you. He'll see what's inside of you when you are irritated. Look at your neighbor. Say, if you're having a hard day, the secret of your heart will be visible. Not just to you, but to God. And he wants to expose it. He wants to expose your frustration so he can clean it up. He will not clean it up until you give it to him. Why does it have to be acknowledged that you have a problem before he cleans it up?
Because the true pride has to bow.
Huh?
Your pride has to bow.
Your pride has to bow. Your knee has to go down a little. You know why? Because your plan is still in your heart. And God says, my plan is more important. And my plan will manifest. I don't care how stubborn you are. I don't care how thick you are. I will get through you. Because why? He'll get through because why? From the beginning of time, he has predestined and foreordained that plan, and it will come about. It will come about, come hell or high water. He knows how to crack your skull. Come on. He knows how to break inside of you and get you to bow your knee no matter what you think you can't do. He'll do it through you. Why? Because that plan has to come about. In order for what? For the salvation of the rest of this earth. The rest of the earth is still going around in circles, isn't it? They're going nowhere fast. You're growing and maturing. You're getting stronger every day. The foundation. The Holy Spirit says, why do you think you're in a cellar? Because you're surrounded by cement. Did God not put Elijah in a cave? What was he surrounded by? Rock. What's that? Rock. What's that wall? Rock. Yeah, it's little rocks cemented together. Why did he put us down here? We first rented. We were upstairs. We froze our butts. And then they offered us a warm space downstairs, which we were in the other room, surrounded by rock. I haven't forgotten that vision you had. That stairway getting filled. I'm still waiting for it. That's 2007 or it's 2008. Is it important that he had prophesied that Mary would have a child? She would be unwed. She would be a candidate to be stoned to death. You wouldn't pick that for your daughter, would you? Ah! Have a talk with St. Anne someday. Think about it. Here's your little girl. And God has foreordained that she would be the vessel that would bring forth the Messiah without a husband. And then she would be the conversation of every town that she went to. Mocked, accused, and accused in multiples of levels. Would you choose that for your daughter? It was foreordained that there would be a real virgin having a real child without a man. Would you choose it for your daughter? Would you want it for your daughter? But it was what? God's plan, and she submitted. She said, okay, let it be done. According to who? The foreordained plan of God. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be here. Would we? And he prepared it before time began. Why am I pressing in those pieces? Because I believe the feast is what God wants to have us, let's say, prodded a little bit. So that we will come to the realization of how important those last three feasts are. Trumpets. What are we going through on Tuesday? Atonement. And who is our real atoning sacrifice? Christ himself. And then tabernacles for a week to celebrate what is going to happen in this earth. You see, a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit was pushing my buttons. He loves to push my buttons. I don't always like it when he does that. But he reminded me that there were 12 people that were set aside, foreordained to become apostles for him. And they went through hell. Their future was to be either crucified or beheaded. Would you choose that for your son? No. We want everything great and good and wonderful for our kids and our grandchildren. But some of it is not going to be. Why? Because God has foreordained that there would be troubles and difficulties and trials in order for them to mature, just like you and me. James 1 was not written just for us having a hard time. It was written for those that we love. I want you to close your eyes now. Say, Holy Spirit, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Did you ever sing that little song? Did you realize what he had foreordained for you? The hardship, the difficulties, the headaches, the whatever, accusations, false things that would come? Yeah. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. As long as it's my way, it will be great. That's religion. He's going to have his way. It's a lot easier if you give in quickly. Ask me, I know. He will have his way. You know why? Because he's got an ultimate purpose, the salvation of this whole world. What are we going to be in this process? We're going to be going around like a glory train. And when this house is full of glory, people will flock to it. You know why? Because they're going to hop on thinking it's going to be a sweet ride for the rest of their lives. And that's how he got me in, and that's how he got you in. Right or wrong?
Amen.
Oh, I'm so glad I got a few friends. Knock on your neighbor. Say, you got deceived a little like me. Everything was going to be smooth and rosy. As long as Jesus was Lord. Guess what? He is becoming my Lord. And I was foreordained to be here right now. To help you on your journey. While you're helping me with mine. Hallelujah. It's a corporate church that he is building. We're interdependent. My back gets itchy. He might use your hand to scratch me. Amen. And amen. That's it. Don't forget Tuesday, 7 o'clock. The interests are the benefits for you. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve. All I know is he's prepared something. And it's share some love and some hugs for each other. I want to also ask you to continue.